Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Redemption Church Podcast. My name is Pastor Khalid, and as always, thank you for tuning in. We are not resuming our series, Watch Your Mouth, today. We decided to gather in the park and have worship there and just fellowship, and we had several baptisms, and I offered a reminder through a sermonette on what it meant to be saved and what it means to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I hope this word of encouragement reminds us what it truly means to be saved and baptized. God bless. I think, unfortunately, a lot of times we go through the religious and traditional motions and we say, sign me up for baptism, and we have no idea what that means. We don't know what it stands for. We don't know what it represents. And so today I want to provide spiritual context, spiritual understanding, so we know the significance of baptism. Amen. The first thing I want us to understand, that a prerequisite for being baptized is we must first believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Yes. The Bible says that individuals who believe and are baptized will be saved. Amen. So if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, what's going to happen is we're going to go out there and you'll go under the water, but you'll take a quick bath with no soap instead of being baptized. I'll say it again. Y'all thought I was just going to be lax because we ain't at the church house. But it's my job to still challenge us and think deliberately about why we do what we do. Yeah, we're putting our series on pause, but I'm still going to challenge us, Corbin. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you're getting baptized, you just took a bath with no soap and you were not baptized. So fundamentally, we have to understand, Jason, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our Savior. Yes, he is. Well, what does that mean? I profess. So let me tell you this. Before there was Jesus Christ as the mediator, you and I, we were bound to sin. We had a first class ticket to hell and we were out of fellowship with God.
Yes.
Jesus Christ shows up on the scene, Reggie, and he says, I'm 100% man. And I'm 100% God, and I stand as the mediator. I stand in between God, who's in heaven, and human in their humanness, and I will reconcile two hostile parties. We can never be in direct fellowship with God without Jesus Christ. So he did not sin. He laid his life down for you and me. Man did not take his life. He laid his life down for you and me so we can have another chance to experience the goodness and the mercy of God.
Amen.
He did not commit sin. And so he died. And Friday, people say Friday, Saturday, he was dead. And then, as the old saints say, one Sunday morning. There was something that happened where the stone was rolled away and he stepped out, and that solidified a second chance for you and me. And so when we say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, Miss Michelle, what we're saying is he literally saved my life. Not my natural life, but my spiritual life as well. And so when we, as individuals who say, I believe in Jesus Christ, we see an interesting conversation that Jesus Christ has with his disciples as he does his ministry for 40 days after he is raised from the dead. He has an interesting conversation and he says, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Yes.
Matthew 28 says, here is your great commission.
Yes.
Go make disciples, mm-hmm. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And when you and I inherit the kingdom of God, when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we also inherit God in spirit form.
Amen.
And he lives in us.
Yes, he does.
I want to read to you a conversation that a scholar, a teacher has with Jesus Christ. His name is Nicodemus. John chapter 3, we partake in interesting conversation and dialogue with Nicodemus and Jesus. Now, Jesus may sound a little harsh, but Nicodemus, he has a lot of head knowledge, but he doesn't have the spiritual understanding. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. I'm sorry, John 3, verses 1 through 7. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. So he's acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord. For those of us who want to be baptized today or have been baptized, you did what Nicodemus did. I'm acknowledging Jesus Christ to be Lord.
Amen.
So fundamentally, we're on the same track as Nicodemus. I acknowledge that there's something different about you. I acknowledge that you're more than just a man. You are Lord in natural form.
Yes.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again," say born again,
"born again,
he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." I want to, over the next several minutes, again, I understand I'm standing between you and a hot dog and some ribs, so I don't want you to come for me, but I think this is very important. Over the next several minutes, I want to challenge those of us who have been baptized and those of us who will be baptized today, signs and indications that you are actually saved. Again, if we don't believe, then we're just taking a quick bath with no soap. There should be fruit. There should be spiritual evidence that we are indeed saved.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And so if the Spirit can only reproduce what he is and who he is, that means when we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, the Holy Spirit, there should be evidence that he's working on the inside of our lives. And when we do things,
yes,
it should align with the kingdom agenda.
Amen.
My son was at someone's house a couple days ago, and there were specific things that he did that he said. And the parents, when I was debriefing with them yesterday, they said, "Man, he looks just like Khalid. He sounds just like Khalid." Because he's my son. I reproduce him. There's evidence that he's connected and belongs to me. It's the same thing being a part of the kingdom of God. If we are children of God, there should be evidence, Lexis, that we belong to the kingdom of God. So I'm gonna give us some signs and indications on whether or not we're actually saved and we're utilizing the Holy Spirit the way we should be. The first thing that I want to give us, and all of this is spiritual, it's not natural. The first thing I want to give us, a sign of a rebirth, of being born again, is that our relationship with God is spiritual. Not a religious relationship, Rochelle. Not a traditional relationship, a spiritual relationship, a spiritual connection with God.
Amen.
What does that look like if you don't open up your Bible outside of Sunday? You are flirting with this idea of being religious rather than relational. If the only time you open up the word of God, those who have been baptized, those who will go under today, if the only times we open up our word of God to hear the voice of God, to understand the expectation and the ways of God, if the only time we do it is on Sunday, we are flirting with religiosity and not relationship. The other indication, as far as meaningful relationship, is prayer.
Yes.
I said last week, prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a conversation.
Yes.
And we are a part of, good morning, Miss Sarah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Welcome. It's always good to have you in the house.
Yes.
When we pray, we are from a microwave generation or society that we sit down and we tell God what we want and we get up when we're done.
Mm-hmm. Help us.
True relationship. There's no way I can have a healthy relationship with my wife if I do all the talking and I never listen. It's not possible to conjure up a healthy relationship with my wife if I do all the talking and when I'm done, I just leave the dinner table.
Yes.
Yet we do God that way. Thank you, God, for the food. Thank you for my family. Thank you for friends. And pray that I get this job. Amen. And we just leave and go on with business as usual. If we are striving to develop a spiritual relationship, we got to sit in that thing and wait for God to speak. Here's the other indication of a spiritual relationship. There are so many more, but these are the most important. As we strive to be better, you must belong to a community that prioritizes spiritual relationship.
Yeah.
Now, this is not a plug for redemption. But what I am saying is, wherever you go, there is should be an expectation that Jesus Christ is the focal point. Because if Jesus Christ is not the focal point, it's not possible to obtain a spiritual relationship with God. The second indication of a spiritual rebirth, a meaningful rebirth, is our spiritual mindset and desires have shifted. Our mind should align with that of Christ. If our mind is still on the things that represent life as we knew it before we were saved, are you even saved? I'll say that again. If our mindsets and our desires are still on the things and prioritizing the habits and values of those things before we got saved, if nothing changes up here, are we even saved? If you're still worried about seeking revenge on everybody who dogged you, are you saved?
Make it plain now.
If you're still worried about what people think of you and just making sure people notice the freshest pair of shoes you got and the promotion and all these other things, if you're still worried about the things of this world that are fleeting and passing away, are we even saved? If you're still worried about the house on the hill that's never really in God's agenda for your life anyways, but you feel like that defines you and establishes who you are concerned about the things of this world. And a spiritual mind is not consumed with the things of this world. So rather than having a spiritual mindset, you have a natural mindset. We call that carnality. For those of you who do not know, carnal, C-A-R-N, the prefix, that represents meat, flesh. So that means the decisions you make, even though you've acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, the decisions you make are not spirit-led, they're led by your meat, your flesh. I'm teaching today. The last thing I want to give us, and I'm going to get out of our way, and we're going to go out here and baptize and dedicate. The last piece of evidence to suggest we are saved and baptism is not a formality is that we are living a spiritual life. Relationship produces a better mindset. Better mindset dictates our habits. Our habits become our lifestyle. Our mindset shifts our habits, and our habits turn into a lifestyle. And if our lifestyle is not that which is spiritual, are we saved?
Wow.
Are we saved? But understand the real battle. See, we try to change behavior and then change our mind. That's not what Paul tells us to do. Paul says, renew our minds daily. And that word renew is not just to make new at one time. It's not just, oh, I make it new the day I get baptized. That word renew, Nate, means to make new again and again and again and again and again. So if we're not renewing our minds every single day, that means our habits and our lifestyle will reflect the lack of renewal in our minds. We can fake this thing only so long. But when we live a spiritual life, there's nothing to fake. It's who you are. If somebody cut you off in traffic, a spiritual life, you just. Now, if you would have got me before. If you would have got me 2 years ago. Now, I'm not saying we won't have short slip ups or blunders or anything like that. But what I am saying is, if the majority of our lives aren't spirit led, the only other option we have is to be led by our flesh.
Yeah. Amen.
There is no option C. There is no in between. And I'm gonna offer this rhetorical question before we head outside. I wouldn't want to serve a God who saved my life that wasn't worth emulating. I'm gonna turn it down a notch. I wouldn't want to serve a God that saved me that wasn't worth striving to be like. So we lift our hands. Sunday after Sunday, we say hallelujah. But when we leave, we change nothing. So why serve a God that's not worth being a role model? Why serve a God that's not even serving as an example in your life? Why serve a God that when we make decisions day after day after day, the focus is not pleasing him, it's pleasing our flesh? Oh, y'all thought baptism was just something you put on Facebook and you got a whole bunch of likes and stuff on Instagram. No, this is a lifestyle shift.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
This is a lifestyle shift.
Yes, it is.
Now, I'm going to give you some real news. Then I'm going to give you some good news. Transformation is hard. It's hard. I believe that the individuals who are going to be baptized today, my hope is that your heart is in the right place. Be it, you know, just your attitude, pride, cussing, drinking, whatever else. You acknowledge that I can't live in that space no more.
Amen.
The focus must be holiness and righteousness.
Yes, Lord.
That is the only standard.
Yes,
We are in a series right now that is debunking and challenging religious cliches. And one that this burns my grits over is I'm only human. Well, that is true in nature. We should never be satisfied. We should never be satisfied. So when we go under today, understand when you come back up, the expectation is that you're striving to walk in your newness. But it ain't easy. That's why relationship is important.
Yes.
That's why mindset is important. That's why community is important.
Yes, yes.
You can't do this on your own.
Yes, amen.
You cannot. Your flesh does not have the capacity to live a holy life. I'll say it again. Your flesh does not have the capacity nor the desire to live a holy life. One of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to shut up and sit down. Romans 7, my congregation has heard me recite this several times. I don't understand the things that I do. The things that I want to do and I recognize that are good, that I can't do. The thing that I don't want to do, that thing I keep on doing. And if I decide that this is what I want to do, quite naturally, I should be doing it, but I can't. And this thing that I don't want to do, I recognize it's bad for me. That very thing, Paul says, I keep on doing. Here's the good news, though. He asks a rhetorical question, Trent. He says, who can save me from this wretched man that I am? His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that when he saved us, we are no longer slaves to sin. So if we choose to walk down a path that's not righteous or holy, it's because we choose to, not because there's no alternative.
Amen.
So what's going to happen? Every individual who desires to be dedicated or baptized, parents, I'm talking to you too. I'm not just talking to your children. You have a responsibility. You have an obligation to push your children down the path of holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
Don't call your girlfriends and your relatives and say they were baptized and you didn't do anything to help them after the fact.
Amen.
Don't celebrate and do nothing. Don't celebrate their sense of progress and faith in the faith and you do nothing to support them as parents.
Mm.
Because there is a world waiting to contaminate them.
Yes.
And the enemy sees the confession and the proclamation that they made, and he's looking for excuses to destroy them and your home.
Yes.
So if you push them out there and say, praise the Lord, and you do nothing, you failed as a parent in that aspect.
Amen.
I say that with love.
That's
right. So we're going to gather around. We're going to do baby dedications first, and then we're going to baptize, and we're going to have fun. We're going to fellowship, and we're going to go home. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go outside.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Redemption Church of Fort Wayne, Indiana's audio podcast with Pastor Khalid Griffin. Tune in every Monday morning and don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and share with others. Until next week, Stay blessed. Stay blessed.